The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today we're bringing you interviews from the New Yorker Festival that took place a couple of months ago. Now, often at the festival, my colleague John Seabrook will interview one of the more interesting songwriters or pop musicians of the day, and we get to hear a little music. Laura Marling released her first album when she was 18 years old, but it didn't feel like the work of someone who'd just earned the right to vote. Marling is 27 now, with six albums already behind her, and her particular brand of dense but delicate folk music has earned her all kinds of awards, the acclaim of critics, and a lot of passionate fans, like John Seabrook.
In my work, I meet quite a few artists that are very good singers. Some of those artists are also good players, and a few of those artists are also good songwriters, but I never meet someone who is as good as you are at each of those categories, any one of which would probably make you a very successful artist. So you're a real artist. Welcome. You're fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
And Laura and I actually know each other. We met a couple years ago. We played Boggle together. But anyway, so Laura, that was in April of 2015 when you were coming off of your last album, Short Movie. Talk about what you were doing in California those years. You had three, four great albums, and then you left Britain and went to California. Why?
I was touring by myself, so after my fourth record, which was Once I Was an Eagle,
right.
I had been touring with a band for 8 years, I guess, or 7 years, and I was tired of that.
Yeah.
So I decided to go and tour the States just on my own.
I read something you said interesting. You said that because you started so young, and when you start touring and when you go out, your sort of emotional development is sort of arrested by the nature of touring.
Yeah.
It's hard to develop as a person. And what can you talk a little bit, what is it about touring that kind of arrests you in terms of development?
Well, you basically employ someone to be your parent, you know, full-time carer.
Right. That's your tour manager?
Yeah. It's a really thankless job. But yeah, you know, you are given a schedule every day. You're told where to shower and at what time.
Right.
And it's very limiting. And it's, you know, it's very claustrophobic.
It can be.
If your mindset begins to make it that way,
right.
It becomes sort of terrifyingly claustrophobic.
And that was part of what drove you to California, that wanting to get out of that cycle?
Yeah. Well, I did the tour of the States and it was, you know, magical and I had a lot of adventures. And then I just landed in LA, not somewhere I had ever even sort of romanticized in my head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I landed there and I stayed there. And I found that really, from the claustrophobic mindset that I was in, LA was kind of perfect.
I mean, the other thing about California with you, and we were talking a little about this earlier, Laura had a father who loved 60s singer-songwriters, in particular, Neil Young, and one of your very first songs that he taught you was The Needle and the Damage Done, which I think you later recorded with Jack White.
Yeah.
It's a really great version, by the way. But I think on the Joni Mitchell, he actually had you sit and listen as a very young person to Joni Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
And I was asking you earlier, do you think he kind of wanted to make you into Joni Mitchell?
It's creepy to think that maybe he did.
Because maybe it worked.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, can you talk a little bit about having a father who was a record producer who influenced you musically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he, I was saying earlier, I think Joni Mitchell was the only female songwriter he could think to put in front of me.
Have you felt like Joni Mitchell has become a musical touchstone for you? I mean, your voice in that middle range, up and down, sounds somewhat like Joni Mitchell.
Wow, that's very kind.
I mean, but... and you're a brilliant songwriter like Joni Mitchell, and you're blonde.
And I'm a lady.
And you're a lady.
Yeah, well, I think... Yeah.
But and then you went to California.
And then I went to California.
So I guess that's what I was thinking of. Like, yeah. Wasn't that part of your California trip? Was to maybe reckon with some of these archetypes that you kind of grew up with? Or...
Yeah, someone was asking me the other day whether I lived in Laurel Canyon when I was there, and I was like, no, you can't afford to live in Laurel Canyon. Are you kidding me?
Right.
But so as soon as I got there, all of that mysticism was gone. Do you know what I mean? But there are still the... But there is this mystical thing in LA that the old school guys and girls are there. You know, you feel that they're there in the hills looking down on the city. And you hear about, you know, because most of my friends are musicians and they, you know, talk about playing with Jackson Browne at the weekend or, you know.
They're like the old fathers up there looking down. David Crosby up
David there. David Crosby, of course.
Like a Buddha.
Yeah.
If you grow up listening to a lot of Joni Mitchell, then you end up having a lot of guitar tunings, which is what's happening there.
That's John Seabrook talking with Laura Marling at the New Yorker Festival in 2017. And here's Laura Marling playing The Valley. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. Thanks for listening.
She stayed in town last night. Didn't get in touch. I know she has my number right. She can't face seeing us. She sings in the valley. Many a morning I have woke, longing to ask her what she's mourning. Of course I know it can't be spoke. Of love can be a sickly thing. That's why she mourns the morning dew and the newness that it brings. She sings in the valley. Many a morning I have woke, longing to ask her what she's mourning. Of course I know it can't be spoke. I love her in the morning. I love her in the day. She would stay. We love beauty 'cause it needs us to. it needs our drooling gaze. And innocence reminds us to cover our brittle glaze. She's down there in the valley. I know she wanders there. She's down there in the valley. I can see her golden hair. I love you in the morning, my angel of the west. I'd love her in the evening. I'd do my very best. I'd do my very best.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.